A listener-supported service of the School of Journalism and Strategic Media at the University of Arkansas. This is 91.3 KUAF, and this is Ozarks at Large for Wednesday, January 9th, 2019. I'm Kyle Kellums. Ahead this hour, an upcoming overview of community health in Springdale will be sponsored by the Arkansas Minority Health Commission, and Timothy Dennis in our second half hour preps us for the weekend in live music. At 1 this afternoon on 91.3 on NPR's Here and Now, helping an older parent with a health crisis is challenging, even for healthcare lawyer Christine Dodd. Now she started a business to try to help others navigate the healthcare system. That story, plus reaction to the president's national address last night, and more news on Here and Now, beginning right after this afternoon's Ozarks at Large on 91.3. The Bella Vista Artist of the Month will be honored with a reception tonight at 5:30 at the Wishing Springs Studio behind Wishing Springs Gallery at 8862 West McNally Road. Nori Allen has been painting since she was 7. She was formerly trained in sumi painting in her native Japan. Her art collections have been at the Bristol Museum of Art, Osage Terrace of Bentonville, Dillard's Company's Art on Paper, Reynolds & Reynolds of Richmond, Virginia, and the Bristol Myers Corporation, Cape Fear Hospital in Fayetteville, North Carolina. Tonight's reception begins at 5:30 in Bella Vista. After a string of sunny, unseasonably warm January days, overnight lows dropped significantly last night in northwest Arkansas. Many people probably turned up their heaters to combat the cold, but for some local residents, that's not something they can afford to do. With colder temperatures likely to continue through the winter, low-income residents may be able to find some relief thanks to an energy assistance program. Ozarks at Large's Antoinette Grajeda has more.
The goal of the Economic Opportunity Agency of Washington County is to help low-income families become economically self-sufficient. Executive Director Delia Anderson Farmer says they do that through several programs.
Our biggest program is the Head Start program that we operate in Washington County. We also have EOA Children's House, which helps children who have been abused or neglected or have faced adverse childhood experiences. We also have the Low-Income Home Energy Assistance Program.
Farmer says the Low-Income Heating and Energy Assistance Program, or LIHEAP for short, provides some relief for low-income families who often have to make tough decisions.
It's just not enough income to meet all of the needs. So a lot of times hard choices are made. Do I pay the utility bill this month, or do I buy medicine, or do I go to the doctor, or do I buy food? There are a lot of difficult decisions you have to make for your family. And so the Low-Income Home Energy Assistance Program helps provide some relief for these families, particularly during the most extreme times of the year.
The program assists those who qualify by making payments directly to utility companies.
If a family is in need of winter assistance, we'll pay for the energy bill that provides the primary heat source for that home, whether it's gas, electric, propane, or wood. And families that meet the eligibility guidelines according to income are eligible for that program.
To be eligible, you must be a resident of Washington County, and your monthly income must be below a certain level that varies based on the size of your household. For example, a household of one must have a monthly income no higher than $1,636. A two-person household must have a monthly income no higher than $2,140. In addition to the winter program, Farmer says they also offer assistance in the summer. Around 6,000 households use the LIHEAP program annually.
That's significant, and we're glad to be able to provide this service to Washington County. A lot of people think of the benefit that it has for households, but it also is an economic boost for Washington County because we are providing payments primarily to utility companies, and so it certainly helps the economy for this area.
During the winter program, the average utility payment is about $125. Farmer says she's not surprised there's such a demand for the program because of the region's poverty rate. According to the annual American Community Survey from the U.S. Census, the poverty rate of Washington County was 18% in 2017. Each year, Farmer says EOA receives $700,000 to $1 million from the state for the LIHEAP program.
We'll use the funds until they're depleted for the winter program. It's usually about May, so if people are just hearing this and they're panicking, thinking that they can't get in soon enough for assistance, know that we still have plenty of appointments available. We typically run through May, unless the state tells us to stop sooner, and then we will open the summer program. Typically, if there's funding for the summer program, we typically open that program in July.
While applicants generally apply for a one-time payment, some may be eligible for a second.
We have a regular program that provides one-time assistance, and then we also have a crisis program for those who have received a disconnect notice. So if you're facing a shutoff, then you can come back and we will help you through a crisis payment. So potentially twice, but most come in just for the regular assistance, but we do pay crisis payments as well.
If you don't need assistance, Farmer says to consider others in your life who might.
I received a call the other day from someone who was helping a family in his church and called to find out when the program opened, and lo and behold, we are open, and he was able to get that information to that family. So there are so many people that can be of help to others. They might not need the program themselves, but think about maybe someone who goes to your child's school or goes to your church or a neighbor or another family member who could benefit from this, because people need some relief. And this is one way we can do this for Washington County.
EOA of Washington County began accepting applications this week, and interested residents can make an appointment by calling 872-7479. Office hours are 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. Monday through Thursday and 8 a.m. to noon Friday. More information is available at eoawc.org. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
Residents of Benton, Carroll, and Madison counties may be eligible for energy assistance through the Office of Human Concern. More information is available at eohc.org.
KUAF is supported by contributing listeners and by KUAF's sustaining members. KUAF sustainers support the station by making monthly gifts in any amount. This steady and reliable support allows KUAF to continue to bring you the insightful and unique programming you enjoy. It's a sustainable, convenient, and significant way to support the station you love. You can become a sustaining member of KUAF right now at supportkuaf.com.
The Arkansas Minority Health Commission, based in Little Rock, will sponsor a community health forum at the Jones Center in Springdale, January 17th at 5:30. Sharonda Love, director of the commission, says health professionals from private, public, and nonprofit sectors are invited to attend, as are members of the general public.
As part of our legislative mandate, we sponsor community health forums statewide to provide information as it relates to health statistics that specifically impact the county for which we are in. And when we are in Northwest Arkansas, we will be focusing on four counties, Washington, Madison, Carroll, and Benton County.
Dr. Linda McGee, a former state minority health commissioner and now family practice physician based at UAMS Northwest, will deliver the latest health data for the four-county district. And Sharonda Love says representatives and families from the Marshallese and Hispanic communities are especially welcome to attend.
We will be serving dinner, and so we encourage everyone that's interested in learning more about health of their community and health for themselves to come out. We will have a physician that will be able to provide the health statistics and answer any specific questions that individuals that participate or attend may have.
A mobile health screening unit is expected to be on site, and various vendors, including Community Clinic Northwest Arkansas and Arkansas Department of Health, will have information tables. The Jones Center is located on East Emma Avenue in Springdale. A report released yesterday suggests the economic impact of hospitals in the state is over $11 billion annually. The report was distributed yesterday by the Arkansas Hospital Association and accounts for data regarding employment, payroll, purchasing, and capital spending. The report calculates more than 48,000 state jobs are connected to hospitals in Arkansas, and the payroll for those jobs exceeds $3.4 billion. The full report available at arkhospitals.org. Another report, this one from Appriss Retail, finds that Arkansas retailers processed more than $3.7 billion in returns last year. That, according to the report, equates to about $200 million in lost sales tax revenue when consumers want money back for those returns. The report also looked at fraud-related returns and calculated that Arkansas lost more than $12 million in sales tax revenue from those fraudulent returns. The report found for every $100 in returns, retailers lost $5 to return fraud throughout the year. At the holidays, that amount, by the way, was estimated to increase to $6.50. More about the study and associated costs at talkbusiness.net. And we're paying less at the pump in Arkansas in early 2019 than we were when 2018 ended. GasBuddy.com reports gasoline prices in Arkansas have fallen almost 2.5 cents per gallon in the past week, now averaging $1.89 a gallon as of yesterday, according to GasBuddy's daily survey of more than 1,800 gas stations in Arkansas. This compares to the national average of $2.22 a gallon. National average, by the way, in the past week has fallen 3 cents per gallon. The average gallon of gasoline for the first week in January in Arkansas has ranged widely over the last 5 years, from a low of $1.73 per gallon in 2017 to a high of $3.08 back in 2015. Including the change locally during the past week, prices yesterday were 34 cents per gallon lower than a year ago and a little over 18 cents per gallon lower than a month ago today. Ahead on our Wednesday edition of Ozarks, we're starting 2019 without a few people who made where we live a better place. And we'll spend some time in our second half hour listening to their voices one more time.
I would like to be known as somebody who made art that people really, really like to look at.
Archaeology has helped locate and excavate many of the places that were once a part of this community, and you can now tour them yourself.
In other words, we're a bunch of people who have been doing what they like to do their whole life.
Friends, artists, educators we lost recently, ahead on today's Ozarks at Large.
Washington Regional's Her Health Clinic provides comprehensive care for women of all ages, including gynecological exams, prenatal care and deliveries, infertility treatments, and women's primary care services. With two locations, Washington Regional's Women and Infant Center in Fayetteville and the Springdale Center for Health in Harbor Meadows. WRegional.com for more. Support for 91.3 comes from Malco Theaters, featuring the Metropolitan Opera's live HD production of Adriana Lecouvre, Saturday, January 12th at 11:55 a.m. at the Razorback Cinema in Fayetteville. Malco.com for tickets. Walton Arts Center's 10x10 Arts Series presents Hot Club of San Francisco's Cinema Vivant, Thursday, January 10th at 7 p.m. This evening of vintage silent films, accompanied by live gypsy swing, will feature the work of European stop-action filmmaker Ladislaw Starovitz. WaltonArtsCenter.org or 443-5600 for tickets.
The retail side of Arkansas's largest commercial beekeeper is going out of business, and the owner is blaming the controversial weed killer dicamba. Ann Kenda with Arkansas Public Media has this report.
Calling it a painful decision, Richard Coy is ending the retail side of Crooked Creek Bee Company, which sold popular local honey products in Arkansas stores. Coy made the announcement on Facebook on New Year's Day.
As of yesterday, I've had 60,000 people that have seen that Facebook post. I've had multiple comments and phone calls from my customers that are disappointed, but they are aware and realize that it's a decision that we have to make.
Coy says it wasn't possible to stay in business because the weed killer dicamba was damaging the vegetation bees need to live on.
It does not directly kill the bees, and the EPA states that in their findings. But it's the same aspect as if you are put in a room and someone holds a gun to you and doesn't pull the trigger, but then they don't feed you. So eventually you die.
Even with the ban on dicamba announced in November 2017, some say some use is still taking place. The company that makes a product has attributed any alleged drift damage to user error and not dicamba itself. The plant board continues to debate seasonal cutoff dates for the weed killer. I'm Ann Kenda with Arkansas Public Media.
The University of Arkansas men's basketball team is in Bud Walton Arena on the University of Arkansas campus tonight, hosting Florida. It's the first home conference game of the year for the Razorbacks. Arkansas won the SEC road opener at Texas A&M Saturday. Tonight's game is being shown on the SEC channel. Arkansas swimmer Brooke Schultz, a sophomore at the University of Arkansas, is the SEC Diver of the Week for the fourth time already this season. That honor was announced yesterday by the SEC office. Schultz swept both springboard events at the Georgia Diving Invite last weekend, taking first in both preliminary and final rounds. In the 1 meter this weekend, she was 33 and three-quarters points ahead of the second-place finisher in the preliminary round and nearly 30 points ahead of the second-place finisher in the finals. In the 3 meter this weekend, more than 21 points ahead of the second-place finisher in the preliminary round. And by the way, at the World University Games in December, Schultz overcame a 7.4-point deficit in the 1 meter preliminary round to defeat the reigning national champion by more than 16 points. Arkansas returns to the pool this weekend facing Rice and SMU in a meet in Dallas. And if you're hitting a swimming pool in the near future, we're guessing it's either an indoor pool or you're away from home listening to us on the KUAF app, because it isn't exactly swimming weather right now. The National Weather Service expects lows in the 20s tonight with clear conditions. Low temperatures tonight for the Arkansas River Valley, upper 20s. Lows in northwest Arkansas dip to near 20 degrees tonight. Tomorrow, sunny. Highs just on either side of 50. Tomorrow night, 20% chance of late night showers. Lows in the mid to upper 30s. Finally, the early weekend forecast calls for clouds. A slight chance of rain Saturday morning, with highs in the upper 30s in northwest Arkansas and lower 40s Saturday and Sunday afternoon for the Arkansas River Valley.
So what's the secret to happiness?
If you want to have a happier life, I would say, look at what's unforgiven. Look at where you know you did wrong and you would like to go to that person and say, I'm sorry, can we start over?
I'm Guy Raz. Ideas about forgiveness, why it's important, and why it's so hard, next time on the TED Radio Hour from NPR.
The TED Radio Hour, Sunday afternoon at 1 on 91.3 KUAF. And you can find a schedule of all of the programs we offer on the weekend, and there are many, at KUAF.com. Speaking of many, many chances to see live music. To help us with that, Timothy Dennis. We're in his studio, the Harold and Blanche Cox studio. How are you, Timothy?
I'm wonderful. How are you, Kyle?
Very good.
So this weekend, there's, as usual, a lot of music going on. Let's start with Friday night. Hostie returns to Fayetteville.
Oh, good.
Plastic bean, plastic hat, parking lot. Imagine that. Hot as hell on the 4th of July. Oklahoma, festival time. Freedom, fireworks, barricades. Yes, I'll take a lemonade. Just one thing.
Smoke and Barrel Tavern is going to play host to Hostie. That show begins at about 10 p.m., I believe. Also, Friday night in Fayetteville, Jesse Dean is going to be at Weston Watson.
This is a relatively new venue.
Relatively new venue. It's at Weston Watson.
Yeah.
Jesse Dean, of course, local guy, fantastic guitarist, songwriter, everything under the sun.
Soaked and cold.
That show starts at 9 p.m. Also Friday night, but up the road in Springdale, Mindless Souls will be at Black Apple Crossing.
I do not know Mindless Souls.
I think they're a newer band. They're a Rogers-based rock trio.
You don't know just what you know.
That show at Black Apple Crossing gets underway at about 8 p.m. Also happening Friday night, but down in Fort Smith, Crescent City Combo will be at Harry's Downtown.
That will be a fun show.
Fantastic horn-heavy New Orleans kind of sounding band. That show has a $5 cover, and it's set to get underway at about 9 o'clock again at Harry's Downtown in Fort Smith. Moving on to Saturday night, George's Majestic Lounge is going to have kind of a rock and roll circus of types.
Is Randall Shreve involved?
How could you guess?
I just, you know, that just seems to be something that Randall would do.
Yeah, it's Randall Shreve and the DeVilles and their rock and roll circus. Also joining them will be the Ashton Barbary Band. And they're also going to have Springfield Aerial Fitness and other performers as part of the circus aspect of it.
Oh, like silk workers and stuff? I can't watch that. Hanging from the ceiling?
Yeah.
I can't do that. I'm just afraid they're going to fall.
I've seen it before in George's, and it's pretty incredible.
It's pretty incredible, and it takes a lot of talent. I'm just afraid they're going to fall, and I can't go.
That's fair enough.
All right.
If you can stomach it.
Right.
Tickets for that show are $12 in advance. They're $15 day of, set to get underway at about 9 o'clock again Saturday night at George's in Fayetteville. Also happening in Fayetteville Saturday night, Dylan Earl returns to Fayetteville. Mm-hmm. He'll be at Smoke and Barrel Tavern with Woe Dakota, which is an indie and electro-pop band originally from Little Rock, but now based in Nashville.
Oh!
Oh, what a waste of all that time. I chose you, you were mine. Now
all right. So it's kind of going to be an eclectic bill. I mean, you've got new country, you've got electro indie pop. Should be a good bill. That show has a $5 cover, set to get underway at about 10 o'clock Saturday night at Smoke and Barrel. Still happening in Fayetteville Saturday night, Nomads is going to have Monk is King.
From the confines of my cornered home, displaying about my brick-laid house, the open class, the cordless grass, my morning glory. My half-cracked beakers and blown out speakers from my time in the jungle, some worn out sneakers.
It's a $5 cover, but it's also part of the Northwest Arkansas Mixology Weekend. So if you're buying passes to that, you can get in for free because this is the official concert for the weekend.
All right. So if you have the Mixology Weekend pass, there is no cover.
Exactly.
Your cover has already been covered.
But if you're not going to that and you just want to see Monk is King, $5.
Okay.
That show is set to get underway at about 8 o'clock Saturday night, again at Nomads in Fayetteville. Also happening Saturday night, but over in Eureka Springs, a band I had in the studio last year that is really incredible and everybody should go out and see.
Right.
Dawson Hollow is going to be at Chelsea's.
Oh.
They're a fantastic band from Missouri, all siblings. They're incredible musicians. Seriously, go see them. That show at Chelsea's gets underway at about 9 o'clock. Moving on to Sunday, the next Beer and Hymns will be at Bike Rack Brewing Company in Bentonville.
Now, the last couple of Beer and Hymns were Christmas carols.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming we're not doing Christmas carols in
January. No.
I mean, we're even past Epiphany now.
Well, this edition of Beer and Hymns is going to be a Beatles tribute.
Oh.
So all Beatles songs for however long the event is.
And again, this is sort of a sing-along, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can go and participate.
Yes. It's a sing-along, and proceeds go to benefit nonprofit organizations in the area. This time, they're benefiting Essentials Outreach, which provides essential hygiene items to those at or near the poverty line.
Can I confess an unpopular opinion about Beatles songs?
Yeah.
I really am not a fan of the song Hey Jude.
I'm not either, but that's just because I've had some bad experiences with it in the past.
Oh, I didn't realize what I was opening up there. But anyway, many other Beatles songs I do like, but Hey Jude just seems like one of those that lends itself to a sing-along.
I mean, yeah. But most Beatles songs do because everybody knows them at
this point. That's right. This should be a good time, and it's Sunday.
Yes, it's Sunday, kind of early evening, late afternoon. It begins at 5 p.m. Again, that's at Bike Rack Brewing in Bentonville.
And for a great cause.
Yes.
Great cause.
After that, after Beer and Hymns with the Beatles, if you want to, there's another good show happening at Bike Rack in Bentonville featuring The Accidentals and Sean Michel.
Oh, wow.
So you interviewed The Accidentals last year.
I did. They're from Traverse City, Michigan originally, and they are just wonderful folks. They were a great interview and a great record.
Very great. And Sean Michel, he's a Little Rock-based soul and rock and roll artist. This is going to be a Brew Room Session concert that's presented by the U of A, mm-hmm. House of Songs, mm-hmm. and Owlbell Presents.
Oh, wow.
There are only 60 seats available. Tickets are $30, and that show gets underway at 7 o'clock Sunday night.
And we're efforting, as they say in sports talk radio lingo, to try to have them visit us again during their stay here. Antoinette Grajeda is working on that.
Yes.
All right. That's some good stuff.
It's some great stuff.
Thank you, Timothy.
Thank you, Kyle.
Wash your dirty palms covered in paper mache. Now it's gone. Remember Memorial Day.
Tomorrow on Ozarks at Large, efforts to address questions, issues, and conversations surrounding diversity and inclusion in the business world.
My intent is to bring some of this programming for chamber members where they don't have to justify it on their bottom line. We only ask of their time. This is not for the C-level officer. This is for the smaller operator, the owner-operator, or that front desk or cashier or what have you, or a salesperson or a small HR department.
We'll talk with Graham Cobb, the president and CEO of the Greater Bentonville Area Chamber of Commerce about diversity, equity, and inclusion programming set for the coming year. Plus, the end of a nearly 30-year tradition in Benton County, the Beaver Lake Buddy Bass Tournament, is a thing of the past. Those stories and much more tomorrow on Ozarks at Large at noon and 7 on 91.3 KUAF.
President Trump has made his case for a massive wall along the Mexican border.
This barrier is absolutely critical to border security. It's also what our professionals at the border want and need. This is just common sense.
We'll have reaction from Democrats, Republicans, and people on both sides of the border this afternoon on All Things Considered from NPR News.
Today from 3 to 6 on 91.3. This is Ozarks at Large. The Flower Garden and Nature Society of Northwest Arkansas will meet January 19th, that's a week from Saturday, at 10 in the morning in the Student Center of Northwest Technical Institute in Springdale. The traditional roundtable discussion will be followed by a talk on compost and the science and art of compost by President Keith Blowers. First-time visitors are welcome to attend the meeting before joining. If you'd like to know more, go to FGNS of NWA on Facebook. Just think of Flower Garden and Nature Society of Northwest Arkansas, FGNS of NWA on Facebook. That same day, Saturday, January 19th, Ozark Folkways in Winslow will host a square dance social. That begins at 6:30 that evening. There'll be a sit-down concert of old-time music from the West Fork Gals String Band. Then everyone can get up and dance during the square dance called by Steve Green. He's been with us on Ozarks at Large inside the Furmingham Performance Studio before. Beginners are welcome at this square dance. Admission is free, but a $10 donation would support the West Fork Gals and the mission of Ozark Folkways to promote and develop the arts, crafts, and music of our region. If you'd like more information, ozarkfolkways.org.
Support for 91.3 comes from the Northwest Arkansas Business Journal, featuring the 2018 polling issue, Largest Mortgage Lenders, plus local business news in Northwest Arkansas. The current edition and subscription information available at 725-0394 or nwabusinessjournal.com. Sona, the Symphony of Northwest Arkansas, continues its 64th season, January 26th, at Walton Arts Center. Maestro Paul Haas and Sona musicians present the season's second Masterworks concert, showcasing Verdi's Overture to La Forza del Destino and Chopin's Piano Concerto No. 2, featuring guest pianist Andrew Tyson. Tickets available at 443-5600 or sonamusic.org. The Alma Performing Arts Center presents Still Magnolias by Robert Harling, February 21st at 7:30 p.m. Originally opening off-Broadway in 1987, Still Magnolias was adapted to the big screen in 1988, where six women's lives increasingly hinged on the existence of one another. Tickets and information at almapac.org or 632-2129.
This is Ozarks at Large. We've been fortunate over the past nearly 29 years to welcome thousands of guests into our studios. We appreciate their presence when they're here, of course, but when they leave this world, we're especially grateful we can go into our archives and hear their voices one more time. Over just the past few weeks, several people who made a difference in our region have died, and over the next few minutes, we want to spend just a few more minutes with each of them. Dick Barclay passed away late last week after a career of public service in politics, business, education, and the arts. He served in the state legislature for a dozen years and later was Governor Mike Huckabee's executive director of budget, legislative affairs, and policy. He also had 10 years as the chairman of the Benton County Republican Party, the president of Rogers Little Theater, chairman of the Arkansas State Chamber of Commerce, and as both a member and president of the Northwest Arkansas Council. In 1992, he came to our old studio on Dixon Street in Fayetteville to discuss his campaign for the United States House of Representatives. He was in a Republican primary. He told us then that he considered time spent in politics as a noble venture.
It's been one where I've kept in mind all the time that label that's on the office, representative. I feel very strongly that in my state legislative job as representative and as GF's representative, that is the key word, is service to the people in representing the viewpoints of the people, either in Little Rock and in the future in Washington. And it seems so natural as a part of my life's work of working to earning a living, but also working for my community and my county and now the 3rd District, that's just a responsibility and obligation as a citizen of this state. And that's why that I'm running for Congress.
During our visit almost 27 years ago, Dick Barclay told us he felt strongly that integrity was a basic need for public servants.
And restoring the integrity of Congress is, I think, a major issue in this campaign. Restoring the confidence of the people's confidence in Congress. Congress is an important part of the republic that we have here, and we can't lose that. And people's confidence is so low in Congress that we must do something about it. I didn't initially support term limitation because we shouldn't have to do that. That's really limiting terms takes away some of the power of the people to elect people for as long as they want to elect them. But it seems that what we've got is a system that's sick. And sometimes sickness takes strong medicine. And in this case, I think that strong medicine has to be limiting terms. We shouldn't have to do it, but we've seen how sick the system has gotten. It's we've got to get it fixed, and we've got to give it some strong medicine.
Dick Barclay talking with us in 1992 when he was running for the Republican nomination for the U.S. House of Representatives. He died late last week, and a service through Stockdale Moody Funeral Services will take place Friday at Fellowship Bible Church in Rogers, beginning at 11 that morning. Dr. Jamie Brandon seemingly never ran out of enthusiasm for teaching or for learning. He became part of the Arkansas Archaeological Survey in 1997 as a graduate student at the University of Arkansas, and then again after he earned his Ph.D. at Texas in the early 2000s. He published a variety of scholarly articles and helped us all learn more about our past, be it the Civil War or the lives of people who sheltered in Ozark Bluffs thousands and tens of thousands of years ago. He could teach, he could research, and he could reach out to the rest of us to help us understand who we are and who we were. In 2015, he came to the Nancy Blair Operations Studio at KUAF to talk with Pete Hartman about that year's events related to Archaeology Month in Arkansas. And you can hear the pure joy in his voice when he discussed the possibility of sharing his passion with the rest of us. Here are some excerpts from those Community Spotlight conversations.
Something specific I'd like to talk about that the survey put on Facebook maybe yesterday, just a few days ago, whatever. It was a woven bag.
Indeed.
Holding, I believe it was a derivative of quinoa seeds or something like that.
Yeah.
Looking at this picture, and I even commented on the thread, I said, this looks like someone wove this yesterday.
Indeed. And it dates to almost the time of Christ. It dates to the first millennium AD. What we call the Eden's Bluff seed bag. And it was excavated in the 30s by Samuel Dellinger and his crews who were working before Beaver Lake was ever created.
Wow.
The site's now under Beaver Lake.
Okay.
But it's a textile bag that's packed full of seeds, almost a liter of seeds. And so for us, it's like so meaningful on different levels because the textile itself tells us about how people interacted with the plants and made textiles. And one of my colleagues, Dr. Liz Horton, studies that sort of thing. And then they're packed full of all these seeds, which are early domesticates. We haven't been able to germinate any of those seeds, but what we have, some of our colleagues have been doing with other plants, like early sunflowers that were domesticated, is begin to look at the DNA. Because there is a lot. These are not burned or carbonized. They're actually just desiccated seeds because the bluff shelters are so dry.
Okay.
And so we're actually able to actually look at the DNA there and try to understand how these plants were domesticated, and we could reconstruct that domestication.
And here is Jamie Brandon again on an episode of Community Spotlight, concisely laying out how archaeology can serve as instruction about times past and contemporary. He explained that knowledge of our past can erase negative stereotypes like that of the hillbilly.
Archaeology can be a way to challenge stereotypes like these. Van Winkle's Mill was a large sawmill community in Benton County on what is now Beaver Lake. It was built by Peter Van Winkle and his family in the 1850s, and by the late 1800s, it was the dominant sawmill in the region. But by the early 1900s, it was gone. Archaeology has helped locate and excavate many of the places that were once a part of this community, and you can now tour them yourself at the Van Winkle's Mill Historic Trail in Hobbs State Park. The archaeology and the interpretive trail also shed light on the lives of African Americans who labored at Van Winkle's Mill, both enslaved before the war and freedmen following emancipation. Industrial enterprises and African-American heritage are just as much a part of Ozark history as the so-called hillbilly. And archaeology is expanding our understanding of our past.
The late Dr. Jamie Brandon encouraging us to learn more about us on a Community Spotlight in 2015 on KUAF. He died late in 2018. Dr. Doug James also delighted in helping us understand our world better. He spent more than 60 years associated with the University of Arkansas and was, at the time of his retirement in 2016, the longest-serving professor in the history of the U of A. He was a professor of biological sciences at the university from 1953 until 2016. He was also the co-author of Arkansas Birds with Joe Neal. In August 1992, he told Ozarks at Large that his arrival at the University of Arkansas coincided with the establishment of the Arkansas chapter of the Audubon Society, and he became a charter member. Rebecca Newth asked him in 1992 why he decided to be part of the book Arkansas Birds.
Well, I came here in 1953 and started collecting data. And that's what happened. I was adding to what was in Bill Berg's book at that time.
Uh-huh.
And then the formation of the Arkansas Audubon Society, plus later formation of local Audubon societies around the state, and there are many of those. We have one called the Northwest Arkansas Audubon Society here in this Benton County and Washington County area. the observation those people made were contributed, and there's a huge card file that has. This was back in the days before computers. Mm-hmm. We were cataloging this data on card file, and that's what we used when we wrote the book, records in the card file.
One drawer of, or more?
No, it's a huge cabinet of,
index
cards with the information for each sighting of bird. One card, one sighting of bird.
Do you have a certain educational point of view to when you speak to people? Are there things that we need to know in this modern day now that you tell people? Is there sort of an educational perspective?
Well, the very hot issue about bird populations these days are the problem with forest fragmentation. And the forest birds are suffering more than other species because the forests in many places of the world are being cut. And it's not only necessary to keep forest patches around. We have found recently that some species of birds won't occur in a forest unless it's a huge 2,000-acre or more forest patch. So that's the important message to get across now, is that if you're going to have preserves for certain species, they have to be big patches of forest habitat.
Mm-hmm.
And the forest clearing is not only going on in Central America and South America, but also in North America, and it affects the birds.
For a person who lives in Fayetteville, where is a good place to go? Of course, it depends on the time of year, I guess, but...
All right. We're fortunate in having Ozark National Forest nearby, and that provides a lot of good habitat for forest birds. So I always tell people to go to the Redding campground area in the National Forest along the Mulberry River, or to White Rock area and down to Shores Lake, and along the Pig Trail, particularly at that old camping site called Cherry Bend, which is now where the Ozark Trail crosses. That highway. And also Pea Ridge National Park is a very good place to go birding. Mm-hmm. Those are good places in the summer. The fish hatchery up at Centerton is excellent in fall for water birds in fall, spring, and winter.
I just wanted to know, just sort of personally, how did you decide to go into ornithology? At what stage of your life
happen? Surveyed ornithologists at national meetings, and about 90% of them decided on it in either junior high or grade school. In other words, we're a bunch of people who have been doing what they like to do their whole life.
Dr. Doug James talking with Rebecca Knuth on Ozarks at Large in the summer of 1992 about his work on the book Arkansas Birds that he co-authored with Joe Neal. He died last month. Linda Sheets loved animals, birds and otherwise, and she loved art. In 2012, she was working on a book about rescued dogs, a project she had successfully funded through a crowdsourcing site. Our colleague Ivy Agnihotri-Madulker talked to Linda Sheets that spring at Linda's studio. Here's part of that story.
This is the studio proper. So this is basically my pantry for the art supplies. So I come in here, you know, this is my encaustic station, paints and brushes and scratchboard supplies over there. I love ephemeral things. I love things that you would have thought would have been thrown out.
We are now standing in Linda Sheets' studio. Every inch of the room is covered in her artwork. Sheets was part of the Fayetteville Underground until it closed down last year. To keep herself busy, Sheets launched a successful Kickstarter campaign this February to fund her Rescue Dogs book project. She says she studied the crowdfunding website for 6 months before finally taking the plunge.
I really literally saw photos of dogs that needed to be rescued on Facebook. A friend of mine was posting them, and I thought, I want to draw those dogs. And then from there, I just bounced to the idea of, I'm going to do a book with these dogs, you know, different people's dogs around the country. And it's going to be something that I can offer to these groups to use as fundraising. You know, either, you know, I can go and do a book signing and or give them the books or sell them for cost. And it just kind of snowballed.
Sheets moved to Fayetteville from Austin, Texas, about a year and a half ago. Although she has been creating art for quite some time now, she wasn't always an artist.
I quit art school. I went to art school for 2 years, a little art school in northern Indiana. And I went to art school for 2 years, and I thought, this is not going to make me a living. And my father was a plumber. My brother was a plumber. It was the late 80s, and they were taking women in to the apprenticeship. Actually, it was the early 80s. They were taking women in, and I was the second woman in northern Indiana to become a plumber.
Sheets decided to return to being a full-time artist about 8 years ago after taking care of her father, who was ill.
It really woke me up, and I thought, wow, when am I going to do art? You know, here's my dad. He's a plumber. He's worked all of his life in his 70s. And, you know, he kind of wanted to do something creative, but he never got a chance. And it was like a light bulb, and I stopped taking all the big jobs, and I still occasionally fix a sink or two, but it just pushed me into this.
As for being recognized for her characteristic dogs and monkeys, she says she has no problem at all.
I really have moments where I think, oh, God, I wish people took me seriously. I wish, you know, I was some intense artist that, you know, encrusted a skull with millions of dollars worth of diamonds and, you know, people put me on a pedestal. But, you know, I would like to be known as somebody who made art that people really, really like to look at.
Linda Sheets talking with Ozarks at Large's Ithi Agnihotri Madulkar in spring 2010. A memorial service for Linda will be held Sunday at Art Ventures Gallery on the Fayetteville Square. That will begin Sunday afternoon at 2. The visit Ithi had with Linda made enough of an impression on Ithi that when she moved away from KUAF for a job in Arizona, she gave many of us a Linda Sheets piece of art as a goodbye gift. Linda Sheets and Doug James and Jamie Brandon and Dick Barclay spent plenty of time making impressions on many of us in Northwest Arkansas, and we are better off for their teaching, their art, and their service. Our condolences to their families, their friends, and their colleagues, and our never-ending thanks to each of them for their time spent with us. This is Ozarks at Large. Sunday afternoon, the Bella Vista Historical Museum will be hosting a talk by Constance Waddle. She's the author of the book Sally and Me. This will take place at the Bella Vista Museum Sunday afternoon at 2. She was born and raised on the shores of Lake Bella Vista, and she'll be telling us of stories from her childhood of the 30s and 40s. Admission is free. The museum, located on Highway 71 at Kingsland, next door to the American Legion. If you'd like to know more, you can search Facebook. Also Sunday, also at 2 o'clock, so you got to make a choice. Flip Putoff, outdoors reporter for the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette, will be presenting a program about Arkansas waterfalls. This takes place at Hobbs State Park in Rogers. He'll explain when, where, and how to go on safari to see the state's best waterfalls. This talk, too, free. This talk, too, open to the public. If you want to know more, friendsofhobbs.com. This reminder, you can hear our show online if you can't be with us at noon or 7. Past editions of Ozarks at Large can be found at ozarksatlarge.com. So many people helped put Ozarks at Large together, and so many people had a hand in making today's show possible. Contributors to the program included Antoinette Grajeda, Timothy Dennis, Jacqueline Froelich. Additional content provided by Ann Kenda from Arkansas Public Media and KASU Radio in Jonesboro. Timothy Dennis also mastered our show today, and he was an instrumental, huge, big help in finding archive material included in today's show. Speaking of that archive material, thanks again to Pete Hartman, Rebecca Newth, and Ithi Agnihotri Madolkar for their original work on Ozarks at Large and KUAF that we heard again. And Ithi, if you happen to be listening in Arizona, my spell check still remembers the correct way to spell your name. You can hear more news from around the region and the state every weekday morning at 5:30 and 7:30 with newscasts produced by Antoinette Grajeda. Antoinette also curates the music we hear at the end of many editions of Ozarks at Large, just like the song we're going to hear at the end of this Wednesday show in just a moment. In just a couple of months, by the way, Ozarks at Large will begin our 30th year in our current format as a magazine-style radio show. The actual 30th anniversary of starting Ozarks in its current form will be March 10th, 2020. But as we get closer to that milestone, we do have a goal, and we'd like your help. Over the past 29 years, we've been to many places, covered many things, and recorded thousands and thousands of voices, sounds, and moments. But we know we haven't come close to exhausting the list of interesting people, events, and places in the Arkansas River Valley and Northwest Arkansas. What iconic elements of the region have we missed or perhaps should visit again? Specifically, we're looking for possible stories that are older than our show that somehow we still haven't managed to include in our show. Send us an email suggestion and give us your idea. You can reach the entire Ozarks at Large staff at ozarksatlarge@gmail.com. You can reach me at kyle@kuaf.com. And don't worry if you suggest something or someplace we've covered before. After all, 29 plus years, a long time, and nobody has heard every show. Our email address again, ozarksatlarge@gmail.com. A listener-supported service of the J. William Fulbright College of Arts and Sciences at the University of Arkansas. This is 91.3 KUAF, Fayetteville, Fort Smith, Bentonville, and LaRue. Now, we will end with music recorded at the Carver Center for Public Radio, specifically for Ozarks at Large. Music from Will Gunselman, the song Carry On. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great rest of your Wednesday.
Get up, sunshine, well, it's time to start. The worst is come and gone, ain't that the best part? There's no more saying, ain't life hard enough as it is? Because we feel our buckets full of joy and pain, we toss them down the river just to fill them up again. It's time to get moving, it's time to travel on. Oh, it's time, 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 time to carry on. Call out your children, call out your kin, call to the heavens, baby, let us begin. The time is now, we ain't got much daylight. Cause baby, ain't it true when it rains, it pours? It's coming in the windows, it's all over the floor. It's time to get moving, it's time now to travel on. Oh, it's time, time, time. Time, time to carry on. On a woo-woo, woo-woo, woo-woo. Oh, it's time, time, time. Oh, it's time, it's time, it's time. It's time, 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 time.